about gun control. Gotta get rid of the guns. Fuck that, I like guns. You got a gun, you don't have to work out. I ain't working out. I ain't jogging. You got pecs, I got pecs. That shit. You don't need no gun control. You know what you need? We need some bullet control. We need to control the bullets. That's right. I think all bullets should cost $5,000. $5,000 for a bullet. You know why? Because if a bullet costs $5,000, there'll be no more innocent bystanders. The end. Every time somebody gets shot, you be like, damn, he must have did something. Should they put $50,000 worth of bullets in his head? And people will think before they kill somebody if a bullet costs $5,000. Man, I would blow your fucking head off if I could afford it. I'm gonna get me another job. I'm gonna start saving some money. And you a dead man. You better hope I can't get no bullets on layaway. So even if you get shot by a stray bullet, you won't have to go to no doctor to get it taken out. Whoever shot you will take their bullet back. I believe you got my property.
Pre-recorded live from Pennsylvania and Nebraska, U.S. of A. It's the Bob and Elvis Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Elvis Dingledean.
Now the time has come to act, and act fast. I'm leaving.
You get back here, you pants. Can I say weather? And no way that nobody's gonna leave this town. Hell, I was born here, and I was raised here, and that's coming, I'm gonna die here. And no sidewinding, bushwhacking, horn swoggling, crocker crocker is gonna roll my biscuit cutter.
Who can argue with that?
The following podcast contains harsh language, Whoops. Nudity, graphic violence, Whoops. Adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bob and Elvis Show.
Yeah, stands to reason I pressed the wrong goddamn button at some point.
Right.
It's been a while since I did that, so, you know.
You do.
Back in it. Chris Rock is very smart. I think that's a great idea. Each bullet is $5,000. And I don't know. I mean, do you really think they would object to it? I mean, do you really think the Republicans would go, you know what? No, bullets have to be cheap and easily accessible.
Of course. These are people that were shocked at the idea that we would curtail Second Amendment rights for people on no-fly lists, for potential terrorists.
Right.
They would absolutely lose their mind over bullet control.
Bullet control. But I mean,
even though the Second Amendment, you know, bear arms, not necessarily the bullets that go in them. And they didn't really even have bullets back then. It was grape shot.
Well, the theory is that you could buy whatever bullets you want. I mean, any bullet would be available. I mean, it's not like you couldn't buy bullets. They would just be super expensive.
Really expensive. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because, you know, the tech not, you know, the Glock with the extendo mag, that's for the sporty type, the sporty gun lover who, you know, can't enjoy his sport shooting at the slow 9-round pace. He must, you know, he's got to have the semi-automatic with the extendo clip, because the sport shooter, much more important than the 9-year-old girl.
That's right.
Is the sports shooter. And we've had this conversation before. I'm not one of those freak show. I own guns. I understand. But there's no hunter on earth going after a deer with a Glock with a 30-round clip. And if there is, that person should be, you know, institutionalized.
Yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot about guns this week. And I don't say that gleefully. And... You know, I was watching Ed Schultz the other night, and what he said was that, I mean, isn't there a rule? I mean, isn't there a gaming rule where they only allow a certain number of shells per hunter, and then the game warden comes by and checks. I mean, I don't know. I've never been hunting. I have no idea how that works.
It's, you know, every state has its different rules about what, you know, what season is in. It's muzzle loader season. It's rifle season. It's bow season. You know, the hunters I know are going backwards from the 30 round clip idea. They're so bored with conventional hunting that they're going to either, bow hunting, which is, you know, it's serious sportsmanship, or, muzzle loader, something, one shot. You've got one shot with a muzzle loader. That's it. Because it takes too long to, you know, if you miss or you do a bad, you don't do a clean shot, you either really injured an animal that'll bleed out and suffer unless you chase it down and kill it by hand, or you just miss and it runs off. I mean, that's serious dedicated hunting. So nobody in their right mind in the hunting world is out there with a, you know, with a multi-clip semi-automatic, and that's not what it's all about. It's about fetishism.
Yeah,
is the extreme here. It's, you know, the Second Amendment, or, you know, it's all or nothing. It's the zero tolerance for any rational debate. And you'll never put the toothpaste back in the tube with gun control. I mean, gun control is for ass. It will never work, gun control. But there's just got to be some more obvious things that we do about, I mean, nobody in their right mind, and that's the whole argument, nobody in their right mind needs a 30-round clip, period. I mean, there's just no black and white there.
Yeah.
There's no one can make an argument to me that's needed, that somebody needs the joy, the thrill, the rocks off, whatever it is, of the fetishists, that 30 rounds is three times better than 10. Like, the joy in that is that much better.
Yeah.
Bullshit. You don't need that. No one needs that. And there is a substantial difference when the lone gunman goes berserk and he's got that many more in the clip before he has to reload. Because reloading is when you tackle that fucker.
Yeah.
And put your elbow in his ear. You know, that reloading is crucial. So he's got two hands with nine shots. That's 18. That's, you know, that's still less than the 30 round clip. At some point, you've got to reload, unless you're fucking Neo in the Matrix. When you're packing like the full Neo ensemble and you're coming ready to go with multiple guns, it's ridiculous. But through all of this, I have not had a single pang of gun control. This is all politics. It's all tone and the violence in our politics. I don't give a shit about gun control, about this issue, for some reason. It's just been completely off my radar. It's all about violence in our rhetoric.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the polity, you know? That's and Sarah, I hope this is all I keep thinking. All I've been thinking since this happened was, I hope this is Sarah Palin's dead zone moment, where the guy that's running for president, Greg Stillman, holds a baby up in front of him to not get shot. Right, he uses a baby as a human shield,
yeah.
And that ruins him, and he kills. You know, I don't wish that Sarah Palin would kill herself, but I hope this is that moment where it's so obvious that something that she has rallied for, and I'm not blaming her. I'm just saying she's part and parcel of this mood, this you know, this attitude. I just hope this is her Greg Stillman moment, where she's just sunk herself.
Yeah, yeah. And I think she has. I mean, that address yesterday was a disaster.
Cataclysmic. It was I was walking through a hotel lobby yesterday on my way to somewhere, and I saw it on the screen. I just glanced at it. I was completely unplugged for the last couple of days because of this work thing, convention thing, and this meeting. And I was walking through a hotel lobby, and they had twin flat screens, and I saw her face. And I saw the backdrop, and the sound was off, and there was no subtitles. Yeah. And I just glanced at it, and I knew everything I needed to know. She's released a video. It's fucking retarded. Nothing she said. I could tell from the look on her face that she was angry and aggrieved with that certain kind of look that narcissists get in their face when they are cornered. And I just thought, that's it. I glanced at it, and I had all the information I needed.
Yeah.
From just that thing, because it was a Palin video I'd never seen. And I was like, oh, she did it. She released her video, and it's going to be tone deaf and retarded and narcissist word salad, exactly what you said. And it was all of those things.
Yeah.
She's done.
I think now, I think they took a poll yesterday that amongst independents, Sarah Palin is 28 points behind Barack Obama from the 2012 election. That's a lot, but I mean, it's not enough. It's not enough buffer. I think I'd like to see 40, 45%.
Oh, Christ, that'll never happen. It's a snowball moment for her. It's the video began the small block, you know, circle of ice rolling down the hill that becomes the massive snowball. This is because now we've got Obama's response in Tucson. We've got that to hold up against it, and she's just made the biggest, most colossal fool of herself with this response. It couldn't have been two more different reactions to this.
Yeah. And, you know, you were talking about how you haven't really been focused on gun control with regards to any of this. And you know what? I haven't been focused on mental health issues because I have, in a strange way, I've been trying to figure out what is the difference between someone who is just violent and someone who is insane. And I get concerned when we start throwing around that this guy, Jared Louder, is insane, that he's crazy. Because then we start to define anyone who is a murderer, especially, of course, people who are mass murderers, as he is, as being insane.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're talking about legal defense, like, you know, pleading insanity, I think the prosecution would eat that shit up, because this guy, he was so calm and collected and had a plan, and it was obvious. It was very much premeditated. The rhetoric and the look in his eye, the guy's obviously got some whack going on. I mean, he's obviously not all there, but... And the other side of that is you got to be crazy to some extent to kill people indiscriminately. I mean, there has to be some crazy there. But I don't want him to get off on some insanity. I don't want him to plead insanity, which is what he'll do. He's got no choice, right? I'm all kinds of crazy. I mean, I have mental health issue. I'm bipolar. I'm extremely bipolar. And I'm not... violent in any way. There's shades of my mental illness has not yet become a fissure in my head where I don't feel like I can control violent impulses to fucking kill people. And there are plenty of people I'd love to bash around and smash in the mouth and stuff like that. But my crazy doesn't enter into that. Yeah. So I think there's two things here. There's mental illness and there's a proclivity towards violence, and when those two things collide, you've got, you know, fucking Columbine and the UT guy and this guy. We don't need gun control. We just need crazy control.
Yeah,
we need lunatic control, and we need a better healthcare system. I'm not gonna go off on another progressive rant there or anything, but if we had a system that cared more for people, you know, and just didn't help there be lone gunmen and the, you know, 24 hours later, oh, he was quiet and kind of weird and I thought he was sort of crazy, but what are you going to do? I don't know. Get help. Find, you know, state institutions. Jesus Christ. It seems like every state institution I've ever been to is like, you know, the loony bin in Amadeus, you know, people living in wooden cages and shit.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's crazy and there's violent, and some people are violent without being crazy, and some people crazy without being violent. You put those two things together, and you get these guys.
Yeah, I get really concerned. I mean, when it's just thrown around like this guy, like we naturally have to label this guy as being crazy, and I don't know. I just don't know that he necessarily is yet. And it's the same thing. I was thinking about this as they are perpetually mislabeling this photograph of Louder as being his mugshot.
Right.
When it is not.
The bald, sneering, laughing face.
Yeah. It's not his mugshot. It's not. No. And what that's going to do is that's going to taint the jury.
Taint. It's a shot of his mug, but it is not his mugshot.
Yeah.
Well, and again, it's you got to be some kind of crazy to do this. I don't want him to be painted as crazy and also not in control of his faculties, like,
right,
you know, crazy to where he was being led around the hand by a talking dog. You know, I mean, again, you have to be crazy to, you have to be some kind of whack to do what he did. I mean,
yeah,
you can't get around that. But it's nice. It's not nice. I mean, it's horrible. It's just, for once we can put one of these guys on trial. I'm so, you know, this would have ended with him putting the gun in his mouth if he hadn't been tackled and you know, half beaten. It's nice to finally be able to put one of these guys on trial from a society perspective, because now we can, and I hope they've got him on suicide watch and all that jazz, because it's like the Kennedy assassination. We never had the benefit of putting Lee Harvey Oswald on trial and getting to the bottom of this and seeing evidence portrayed, you know, in court. And now we do. And just about every, you know, Columbine and UT, these guys always end up in a room by themselves and putting the gun in their mouth. Mm. And we don't ever get any kind of closure on that.
Right.
We never get to see it played out in the law. And his defense, his attorneys are going to plead, you know, crazy, and we'll get to see what happens. So that'll help us understand it, I hope.
Now, did you see this, speaking of crazy, that there's this Wingnut meme going around right now where, you know, I guess it was inspired initially. Glenn Beck was talking about this in his letter to Sarah Palin. And now Eric Erickson, CNN correspondent Eric Erickson, has been throwing around this, I don't know what you call it, a fantasy, you know, about someone potentially killing Sarah Palin, which is in retribution for all of this. And that's what here's Eric Erickson's post. Out there somewhere is someone who would love to kill Governor Palin. God forbid they do it. But you and I both know there is some crazy MSNBC watcher and Media Matters reader who even now is dreaming of doing so.
Bullshit.
And should
that doesn't stick on any wall you throw it on. That's complete bullshit.
Yeah, it is.
Nobody cares enough about Sarah Palin to kill her. She is to our side, yeah, she incites a lot of passion and a lot of brouhaha, but there's no MSNBC watcher on earth, especially if you combine it with Media Matters. Oh my God. There's nobody in that demographic that's polishing up, you know, that's doing the Travis Bickle right now. My ass.
Yeah.
And that's the stupidest goddamn thing I've ever heard.
Right. And I always go back to the, I mean, this has been discussed a lot this week, is that the false equivalence between right and left. The likelihood of a typical American left-wing liberal actually acting out violently against a politician is so, so remote. I mean, we are talking about, in general, and I'll admit, this is all generalization. We're talking about pacifists here who, you know, who are against wars, you know, who are against gun ownership generally.
Right. Pro healthcare, anti death penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm anti war to the extent that I'm anti stupid war. I'm not anti World War II.
Yeah.
I'm not really a pacifist. I'm anti, you know, retarded globalism and empire building, but I'm not a pacifist, but I'm anti crazy Glock 30 round clip gun, anti-gun person, and I'm also anti-death penalty. So like, I'm gonna suit up, I'm anti-death penalty, I'm gonna kill somebody, I'm gonna commit murder.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Yeah,
the confluence of personality traits to make that true, what Erickson said, is astronomically zero, 0.00. The confluence of a left-leaning, of a Media Matters, which is a full-on right-wing watchdog operation. So you'd have to be full-on left-wing to go there. I mean, I don't know anybody that's – I think Media Matters is very fringy. I don't think there's a lot of independents going there. I don't. But MSNBC, you put all those things together, there's not a liberal on earth. There's not a left-winger on earth that fits that profile.
Right.
He's talking out of his ass.
Yeah.
But and they're also generating this bullshit cloud, this funk that if anything does happen to her, then oh my God, you know? Then they're the prophets of, no one cares enough about her to kill her.
Well, here's what Erickson says. He continues on. And should they try, we can be equally sure of something else. The left will be divided. I mean, he's really thought this out. I mean, this is really a thorough bit
with
of
projection. Pants down.
Bit of with his pants down. It's pants down projection. It's pantless projection. The left will be divided into two camps, he writes. One, bitch deserved it. And two, not my fault. It's unfortunate, he says. I hope it never happens, but you and I both know the reality in which we live. Right? I mean, this is, and I said it just a second ago. This is 100% unmitigated projection. I mean, this is what they have been doing. Well, I mean, at least for many, many years, but most prominently since the rise of Karl Rove, who's been just a genius at doing that. In fact, Karl Rove's whole thing since the 2008 election has been to deliberately project everything that was said about George W. Bush onto Barack Obama, right?
Or anyone,
Anyone.
Just onto the left,
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's the most childish bit of ridiculous, I know you are, but what am I, payback.
Yeah, but it works.
And that's actually one of the reasons why I I'll cover a lot of wingnutty people. But on the blog, I have refused to even pay any attention whatsoever to Karl Rove, because Rove, his whole thing is just doing that. He just recycled anything that we said about George W. Bush for that 8-year span. He actually has, he must have like a marble notebook that he's got everything just scribbled down on. Oh, they called George W. Bush a baby killer. So we're going to say that about Barack Obama now.
Yeah. You know, and he does it unshamefacedly and on TV, and with that little smirk as if nobody gets it,
right?
Like, it feels like even the folks at Fox and everybody else seem to get it, and I don't understand how it's possible. But yeah, it's I don't know any liberal, and I would refuse to continue knowing a liberal who would say bitch deserved it. That's Eric Erickson should seriously fuck himself. That guy is just awful. He's just awful. But I respect his First Amendment right to be a douche.
Of course.
But really, he should go fuck himself. Seriously.
Yeah,
and hard.
Really.
Ugh.
And then and I think you had a great tweet about that, about Glenn Beck this week. And
his, that was just the most retarded thing I've ever
heard. His letter to Sarah Palin, right? And he says, I want you to know you have my support, Beck writes, but please look into protection for your family. An attempt on you could bring the Republic down. It could bring the Republican.
Mr. Just, Historian.
Yeah. Not even a successful attempt. Just any attempt.
Mm-hmm. Like the attempt on Reagan brought the Republic down. Yeah. The attempt on Ford brought the Republic down.
Right.
The actual death of Abraham Lincoln, who won the fucking Civil War, brought the Republic down. The actual death of John F. Kennedy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The actual death of Bobby Kennedy. You think about how little writing and public... In the 60s, at the time that happened, how little rioting and public unrest there really was in the 60s. I mean, it constantly baffles me that the nation didn't tear itself apart, especially with Bobby.
Yeah.
I think the shock was just too deep and wide for Jack. But by Bobby, man, we were used to it. People getting killed everywhere. And just how little the world did tear itself apart, our American world. So yeah, that's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard Beck say. And I was starting to write this whole thing about it, and I got sometimes I get exasperated just trying to oh, why am I bothering with this? People are so fucking stupid. But Oswald and these guys, but John Wilkes Booth, to whom I'm related, which is lovely.
No, what? Wait, hold on a second there. You're related to John Wilkes Booth, really?
Yeah, I'm related to the entire Wilkes clan, the Wilkeses from the Wilkes side. All those old letters and stuff I had posted, the old documents, the slave receipt and all that.
Yeah.
That's all from the Wilkes side of the family. It's all Wilkeses. Yeah. So that's lovely.
Every day we add every day every show we add another chapter to your Gump playbook. I mean, it's just literally like
my family's been here since 1640. I'm related to everybody. I'm related to myself. I mean, literally, my mother's line, my father's line intermarried three times from 1640 to when I was born. which I find fascinating. I mean, you go back in the tree and these names pop up and I'm like, wait, that's the same. And I do a little math and yeah, it's my parents' progenitors intermarried three times from 1640 to when everybody got here, till the time I was created. So that kind of gives you a big head, really. If you think, kind of makes you very, you think, wow, the confluence of events to create me, that was pretty amazing. So
yeah.
I must be pretty special, which of course I am. But John Wilkes Booth did this thinking he could go to anywhere south of the Mason-Dixon, any southern hotel or restaurant, and walk in and go, hey, I'm John Wilkes Booth. And everybody would go, huzzah. And he'd be carried around on shoulders and he was the big hero. And that he ended up dying getting shot in the ass in a barn after slogging through a swamp for 2 weeks. Right. I mean,
yeah.
he was hated because the people just had their asses kicked. The whole country, the Civil War was just over. I mean, Lincoln didn't even get to put his feet up, you know. It was just winding down, and the last thing the South wanted was some douchebag doing something like that for their honor or for whatever. I mean, Booth's big thing was what he said, and I'm quoting him now, and this is the second or third show in a row that I'm going to do it, but he said that means nigger suffrage. He was worried about Lincoln giving away the vote to blacks.
Yeah.
Because Lincoln came out on a porch and on a balcony and he made a big speech. And Booth turned to a buddy of his and said, that means nigger suffrage and I won't have it. And a couple days later, Lincoln was dead. But he thought he was going to be a big hero and that it was going to be this big thing. And he ended up being pretty much roundly hated everywhere. And then what the deal that they got under Jackson was worse by a trillion than they ever would have gotten under Lincoln. So no political assassin, to Beck's point, no political assassin gets the deal they think they're going to get, right? That nobody, no lefty is going to think, I know how to solve all this. I'll kill Sarah Palin.
That's
right. I'll be this huge hero, right? It's like, what the fuck are you thinking? Give me a break.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Right.
Jackass.
I mean, could you imagine? I was thinking about that. I mean, with Wilkes Booth, by the way, can you imagine like if Brad Pitt trying to kill the president? I mean, that would be like Wilkes Booth. I mean, he was huge.
He was
the celebrity of that era.
His dad, yeah. The people had pictures of him from his acting roles. He was hugely, hugely famous.
Yeah.
And his dad was huge here and abroad. They were quite the family, quite the dynasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you make of this blood libel thing? I want to keep going back to that because this, I mean, Sarah Palin's thing yesterday is just a touchstone that I think like we can be weaved throughout this entire conversation.
Yeah, I think it's, and I tweeted to her to Palin's speechwriter and confidant or whatever, Mansoor, whatever her first name is, Rebecca, somebody. Mansoor today said the next your next narcissist word salad should include the words Holocaust, pogrom, Heimetown,
right?
Because I think it's just something whoever writes these things for her, if they're even written, they don't sound like they are. I don't think it was in any way intentional. The way some people think it was an intention, I don't think she's that smart. I think it just sounded cool. You know, it sounded lusty and passionate and it's got the word blood in it, blood libel. She's the last thing she wants to do is alienate the Jewish vote, for Christ's sake. So, you know, it's just another sign of how utterly unvetted everything is that comes out of her mouth.
Yeah.
That there's no team there. I mean, if I'm a civilian, I'm for shit in the political world. All I do is read, you know, I know a lot about it, but I'm not a paid political consultant. I'm not a, you know, an operative. But if you sat me down in a room with a table and a laptop and said, we're thinking of putting this on Facebook, and she said blood libel, I'd have gone, oh, no, you don't want to say that. And then I'd have given them a little history lesson and we could have roundtabled it, you know, spitballed it. But
yeah.
Obviously that doesn't happen. Or if it does, the people that do it are so fucking retarded that they can't help themselves.
Yeah.
So all that to me is political gold. I say keep it up.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
Well, that's I mean, between that and who was the other Palin aide who was talking about, you know, sort of revising what the crosshairs were on that map and saying they weren't crosshairs. It was actually surveyors' markers on those things. Yeah, surveyors. Well, who do they think we are? A bunch of fucking morons thinking that, oh, yeah, okay, they're survey markers. Sure, right. And then when Sarah Palin actually said that they were bullseyes in a speech.
Yeah.
You know, we're supposed to ignore that. I mean, it is going to be like one ongoing Three Stooges sketch, and it's going to be so goddamn fun to watch.
She gets a nomination after this. I mean, there's no way. There's no way. She's done. The neocons are coming out left and right now, chipping away at her. I mean, Krauthammer was first or not first, but, you know, he's leading the charge, and now they're coming out of the woodwork to get up her ass about this thing. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's just no way. She just will not have the foundation, the machine support that she'll need. And with this fucking howdy doody show of political advisors, whatever it is, Todd and a handful of fucking idiots, there's just no way. Yeah. She just won't be able to. You cannot run a campaign from Facebook.
No, you can't. Well, and you know, but I do think she's going to try, you know, and then she's, you know, it's going to be, yeah, she's still going to run. I mean, I think she's just that ego driven that she's going to do it just because she can. And because no one's around to tell her, it's like George Lucas, getting back to Nerd Prom from last week. It's like George Lucas. No one's around to tell George Lucas, you know what, George? The fucking Jar Jar is a bad idea. You know,
but if there was let's say there was somebody at ILM that didn't want all of ILM to go in the toilet because of Jar Jar, they would have said, let's figure out a way to kibosh this project from the outside. And that's what I think is going to happen. I think the Republican establishment won't want, I mean, she will be to them the way Nader has been to us over the years. They don't want that siphon. They don't want that dead weight on any ticket going into Iowa. They're going to want to kibosh her fully, deeply before she gets to Iowa. And that's what I think is going to happen. Yeah, I think she wants to run. I think everything she does is a desperate attempt. That's what's so hilarious about it. Everything she does to try and patch anything up when she does something stupid is a desperate, grasping attempt at fixing it so that she can get on with, you know, going to Iowa.
Yeah.
I think, like I've been saying, that when she gets attacked and it sticks and it hurts her, it's going to come from the right.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's where she's going to get stopped.
Well, that's one of the things, that's one of the many things that's going to be entertaining, because she's going to keep going. I mean, because she's like, I mean, again, she doesn't, there's no censor there. There's no buffer to say, you know, shut up, don't do that.
She probably shouldn't have said that. Yeah.
Yeah. But she's going to keep going. And then, the Republican establishment is going to have to try harder and harder to put up those barriers in her path. And that's what's going to be hilarious. That collision course between those two freight trains. It's going to be beautiful, beautiful to watch. And it's going to start any day now, because she'll lay low. And then I would say they have to start throwing their hats in the ring.
They have to start going, yeah. There was something on Sullivan today about how at this point in the last round, there were 14 candidates already on the board.
Yeah.
And right now there's nothing. I mean, there's just nothing. They've got to get moving.
Yeah. And that it was very, it's very similar to, well, we'll get into this in a second. It's very similar to 1992, what happened in the primaries in 1992. We'll get into that in a second. The show today brought to you, of course, exclusively by Bubble Genius, because it is the Bubble Genius Bob and Evel show. And a bunch of different specials happening right now. Pure products, pure genius. Bubble Genius, by the way. Bubblegenius.com. Hilarious, all-natural, eco-friendly products for bath, body, mental well-being, soaps, and the like. Got a brand new batch of soaps in a lovely gift basket this week. Thanks to the Bubble Genius people for that. And it included my favorite thing that they offer, which is the Pit Stop deodorant. It is absolutely the best deodorant I've ever used. It's not an antiperspirant. It's just the deodorant. So I still sweat like a monkey. But it's sweet-smelling sweat now. Really good. I mean, I seriously recommend this. You want some good, all-natural deodorant, try the Pit Stop deodorant from Bubble Genius.
I traveled this week and I put my they've got soaps with the symbols, with the element symbols. I don't know if you got one of those. With the elemental, you know, the periodic table stuff. And one of them is uranium. So I put that in my travel bag to see if that would throw, you know, TSA into any sort of tizzy. But, of course, it didn't.
Outstanding. Shit. Well, that's good. Wait, A for effort. That was a really great
idea. I got
my
first body scan, by the way.
Oh, really?
My very first ever, Total Recall.
Millimeter scanner machine,
We'll have to talk about that, yeah.
Cool. I can't wait to hear about that. Oh, and hooray for coupons. Their official Bubble Genius website is back in action and better than ever, and that means great savings for all of you loyal bubbleheads. They know that times are still tough out there, so this month, get 20% off everything, by using the coupon code STIMULUS. STIMULUS is the coupon code. Stimulate the economy and smell great doing so. It's pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius ad, bubblegenius.com.
Shove Bob and Elvis into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Yep.
Subscribe to the Bob and Elvis Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
So speaking of pants, well, we'll get to your X-ray, your naked body scanner story in a second. But I was just going to say, 1992, everyone waited. I mean, the Democrats all waited because when the whole primary season sort of was getting underway, George Bush Sr. was still riding high from the Gulf War in the polls, and everyone was hesitant to throw their hat in the ring and get trounced by him. I mean, that was the thing. It's like, okay, who's going to lose to George Bush in 1992? Well, not me. I'm not going to do it. And so you had, I think you had a ridiculous array of different types and personalities, and no one really knew. I remember this distinctly. I was actually, studying politics in college at the time, and no one really thought, well, you know, this guy Bill Clinton might have a shot. I mean, everyone's looking at maybe Jerry Brown or, my favorite in that primary was Paul Tsongas.
Yeah, I love Franken's Paul Tsongas impression.
I'm not Santa Claus, you know, he'd say. I'm not Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah, that's back when we just had a deep well to draw from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, so, Clinton really just came out of the fucking nowhere. Just was just a lightning bolt and a comeback kid. I mean, and it's all down to personal talent and just a crack team. I mean, it was just like in 2008. It was the perfect confluence of personality and just being good at it. You know, competence.
Yeah.
Absolute message competence. And because Bush, you know, Bush won. Bush Senior wasn't that big a train wreck going into that. I mean, he wasn't hated, loathed. Clinton wasn't such a mandate. It wasn't such a God, we got to get rid of this guy replacement kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Right. Like George Bush. I mean, it really feels like a head of cabbage could have run against him and had a pretty good shot, just because we just had to get the fuck. You know, I mean, against McCain. I mean, but just against Republicans, just against the, you know, just got to change the regime. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Bush 1 didn't seem like that's what that was. It was just, it didn't feel like it had to be something new, right? You know, like it wasn't visceral. So Clinton really, I mean, boy, you gotta watch The War Room if you never have.
It's just so outstanding.
Just love that movie.
Right. And you know what? As a decent corollary to that documentary, watch Primary Colors.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's one of the best political movies, at least of our time.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
John Travolta.
Big John Travolta eating, you know, bear claws of that Krispy Kreme out in the middle of nowhere, talking to that guy. I mean, it's
throwing
just
his cell phone out the window.
Right. I mean, it's a great movie. I mean, it's regardless of how accurate or inaccurate it was, you know, relating to the actual Clinton campaign.
Yeah.
It was outstanding. It was really good. Yeah. And it gives you, and again, since it was based on partly on fact, it gives you a good insight into kind of in a roundabout way how that campaign was run. But the War Room is just so fascinating. I mean, even, you know, I always think of the one scene whenever I order a beer and Bush beer is one of the options. And someone said, well, you want a Bush beer? I kind of quote James Carville. I kind of go, I don't want no goddamn Bush beer.
What happened to James Carville too? That's just strange how time has changed people and I don't know.
He found the One Ring and was locked up in a cave there for a while with the One Ring and just sort of hovering over it, and then Bilbo got it.
Yeah, he is Gollum, man.
Speaking of Bilbo, you know they're starting filming on The Hobbit. Two movies with Peter Jackson directing. Ian McKellen starts shooting as Gandalf the Grey.
Two movies? They're splitting it into two?
Yep.
Oh, what the fuck? That's not necessary.
Yeah, it's absolutely necessary. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
More. Plus hours?
Yeah. Why not?
It's just more hobbits walking around, just like the fucking other ones. It's, oh, let's walk over here. Let's go to the Misty Mountain and do this and fucking walk somewhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't need two movies. Just like this fucking Harry Potter, the last Harry Potter. Oh my God, what a bore fest that was. Ugh. Yeah. They had to make that into two movies. Nothing happened in the first movie. Ugh.
Yeah.
Boring.
Did you know that I have not seen any single one of the Harry Potter movies?
Oh.
I have not seen one of them. So I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. I mean, what? Well, Harry Potter, that's a kid, and he's a wizard, right? I mean,
it's a wizard, and there's a school, and somebody's, I don't know, something happens, and I don't know. But this last one, the book was 1,400 pages long, so they had to break it into two movies, and the part one was just nothing happened. Nothing happened. It's just Harry and the guys out in a camping in the woods. It's Harry camping for 2.5 hours. Boring.
Yeah.
Almost left. There's only one movie I've ever walked out on, and that was The Jackal with Bruce Willis. And
really?
I think Richard Gere. I don't remember. I walked out on it. I walked out on it. It was so retarded. I've never seen anything stupider in my life. It's like it's a remake of the classic, you know, The Jackal. There actually was a jackal. I mean, the jackal was a real person, but they, you know, they remade this, and the story was so bad. I was like, fuck this, I'm out, and I got up and walked out. And I almost walked out of that Steven Spielberg movie, The Terminal, with Tom Hanks.
Really?
But I gave it an extra 20 minutes, and I ended up, I think I fell asleep, but I would have walked out on that. It was so bad.
Two movies I walked out on. European Vacation.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking bad.
It was terrible. Terrible movie.
But see, I was not of an age at that time to know that you could walk out of movies at that age.
And then the other one was the Jerky Boys movie, which, you know what? I fucking deserve that. I bought a ticket to see the Jerky Boys movie. And you know what? I deserve to lose every cent of that, whatever it was, $7.
Yes. Absolutely. I will agree with that.
I will go to my grave wishing I had that $7 back.
See, I'm a really good. I'm a very, very good judge of what I would or wouldn't watch. I won't go to a movie that there's any possibility that I'll walk out on it.
Yeah.
And I thought, Jesus, Bruce Willis and The Jackal, and I'm all about espionage and spy thrillers and this and that. I went in, and I mean, 20 minutes into it, I'm like, fuck this project. I'm out of here. I just don't walk. I mean, I get to movies so infrequently. That, you know, I better know. I almost walked out on that new Clooney movie. The American, just because he was acting like a douche. This guy was supposed to be this killer assassin. I mean, this great assassin. And every 15 minutes, he's sitting in this diner with the backlit, this giant window, and he's sitting there with just wasn't following any of the rules of an assassin. You don't sit with your back to a window if you're an assassin. So now I'm thinking too hard. I'm like, okay, does he have a death wish? Does he want to get killed? In which case, I don't like him very much. If he doesn't want to live, why should I watch his movie? I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But no, it's just the ultimate assassin in any movie ever is Martin Blank in Gross Point Blank. That's how an assassin should look. That's how an assassin should act. Greatest assassin movie ever, Gross Point Blank.
Oh, what about Malkovich in The Line of Fire?
Oh, my ass, building his little toy gun. That movie was crap. That movie was retarded. But any Clint Eastwood movie where he plays piano, I'm there. That's
there you go. I just saw it, and now I'm so divided in terms of what the best movie of 2010 was. And it was either True Grit or The Social Network, which I just saw.
You just saw it, yeah.
Yeah.
I meant to see it, and I just there was something in the back of my head that said that's just too nerd awful. Like my love for Aaron Sorkin, and I just like something kept me from buying it. Like I can't wait now to see it in Blu-ray. Like Amazon had it for like $16 on Blu-ray, and I was like, I know I'm gonna love it, but something kept me from going because I always see movies alone. I have no friends, so
yeah.
If I go to a movie, I'm going alone. And something just said, don't go buy a ticket to The Social Network. A movie called The Social Network. You're gonna go by yourself. That just seemed tragic, so I just didn't do it. Like I was like, yeah, one ticket, please, for The Social Network, and then I'm gonna go blog about it after I see it.
Yeah,
that just seemed awful to me. So I think I probably rented a porn and went home.
Yeah,
seemed awful, and I haven't seen True Grit yet, which is I just been so fucking busy.
Outstanding movie.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I know. You know, it's a Coen Brothers. It's a period, and Jeff Bridges is in it, and Matt Damon's in it. I love the shit out of Matt Damon. I would suck Matt Damon's daddy's dick. I love him so much. I was watching The Informant last night and laughing my ass. I love him.
And he's so good.
2 o'clock in the morning, I'm watching The Informant.
Yeah.
On the cables.
And Damon is so good. You'll love True Grit. Damon is so good in True Grit.
I know. He's really amazing. There's never been a Damon movie that I didn't just love.
No.
So gay for that guy.
So, and speaking of movies, they're not going to air. History Channel is refusing to air this Kennedy miniseries.
Oh, I don't know. We're talking
about with, and I didn't know this, that Greg Kinnear was going to play Kennedy.
Yeah, and what's Barry Pepper as fucking RFK?
Barry Pepper? Really?
As Robert Kennedy? Yeah, Barry Pepper. From Saving Private Ryan, the Grecian urn guy, the guy that looks like his face belongs on a column in Athens.
Yeah.
That guy, as Robert Kennedy. Yeah, good
also,
casting.
Also, Battlefield Earth, too. Battlefield Earth.
That's who you want, yeah.
That's right.
So some background on that. The day that you and I met Ted Sorensen face-to-face, Ted had an op-ed in the New York Times about how big a turd that the screenplay was for this epic miniseries that was fronted by the guy that does 24, Joel Surnow.
Yeah, right.
Just like a complete wingnut.
Yeah, totally wingnut.
Douchebag. So yeah, the History Channel decided that the stink on it was too stink and pulled it. It'll air somewhere in Canada. It'll end up on DVDs and people have to pay for it, so that's good.
Well, I mean, here's kind of the way you can gauge how bad it was. I mean, History Channel's not airing it because it's just so off the rails fictional.
Yeah.
And this is the network that airs fucking Ancient Aliens, for God's sake.
Yeah, but everyone knows those Ancient Alien shows are crap. I mean, they can point when you're in the documentary business, when you're in the nonfiction business, you can point a camera at any lunatic, and run a little disclaimer at the end. The views are not ours. But with this, you're signing off on. I'm surprised they let it go. I mean, the Koch brothers or somebody probably fucking bankrolled it. Some wingnut because they got it made. I mean, it was 8 parts for Christ's sake.
Yeah,
they had a pretty good investment in it. Somebody did. But they're just not going to air it because it's ludicrous. I mean, they've got these swinging bachelor party kind of things in the White House pool. I mean, it's just not good. It's not good for the Kennedy estate at all. So I don't know what kind of power the Kennedys had, the Kennedy family at large had to get it yanked, but it just wouldn't have been good for anybody.
And they had, they had a good cast. I mean, I think, actually, now that I think about it, I think Greg Kinnear would have been a pretty decent Kennedy, though I'd like to... I'd like to hear the accent.
It all depends on the accent.
It all depends on the accent, yeah.
Yeah. If you go to, and this from a guy who just played a video game, the new Call of Duty video game, if you beat it, it takes place in the 60s. It's all centered around the Cuban Missile Crisis and all kinds of. But if you beat it, you get to play John F. Kennedy as a zombie killer. You get to kill members of your cabinet who've turned into zombies while you're quoting JFK, while you got a shotgun and you can kill zombies while you're saying quippy JFK things. It was the most satisfying experience of my entire life.
That's outstanding.
It was fucking fantastic. Like McNamara's on the floor with his head blown off, and just NSA and Pentagon employees have been turned into zombies and are coming at you, and you're literally killing them and saying, "Ich bin ein Berliner Bitch." And
like, oh my God.
I just thought that was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Just do not, whatever you do, shh, don't fucking tell Congress. I mean, they're passing all kinds of ridiculous laws now, and the wrong ones, by the way.
Absolutely. These reactionary laws, it's awful. It's tragic.
Yeah.
The kind of knee-jerk laws that come out of things like Tucson.
Yeah.
It's, and again, from we're extremely liberal people, and we just don't think that these things are the appropriate response. It's amazing.
Yeah, right. And what's that?
Are we done already?
No. Oh. No, we're going to talk about Bubble Genius again.
Oh, yeah.
The official sponsor of the show, Bubble Genius Bob and Elvis Show. I love saying that because it makes me feel like I'm like Milton Berle in 1952.
Yeah. Texaco Theater presents.
Yeah, Texaco Star Theater presents Milton Berle. Yeah. And, you know, Steve Allen and all those guys. Steve Allen was a hack, by the way. Stole everything.
No.
Stole everything from Ernie Kovacs. Yes, yes. Stole everything from Kovacs. But no one will tell you that because, you know, Steve Allen is Steve Allen.
Here's a prediction. By the end of the week, you get an Ernie Kovacs soap.
Yes. It's about goddamn time. A huge Ernie Kovacs fan. So, speaking of soaps, they've got Bubble Genius right now. Make sure to pick up the Rubber Ducky soap. Now you can make bath time so much fun with their Rub-a-Dub Ducky Rubber Duck Soap. Even better than the real thing, because this one lathers up with delicious mandarin-scented bubbles. They invite the young and young at heart to celebrate Rubber Ducky Day. Well, it's January 13th. That's today. Today is Rubber Ducky Day.
Holy crap.
With super fun bath soap. And they've also had a soft spot for Johnny Lydon, also known as Johnny Rotten. Johnny. From his humble beginnings as frontman of the Sex Pistols to his more current channeling of Peter Cook's spirit. So to celebrate his birthday on January 31st, they've got their Salt of the Earth bath salt in a reusable glass jar with a cute wooden scoop.
Nice.
In honor of Johnny Rotten. Public Image Limited is actually my preferred project by Johnny Rotten. Not a big Sex Pistols fan, but PIL. Really great. I love those guys. I got to post something on the site. I don't think I've posted any Public Image Limited on the site.
No.
Oh, and also, it's not too late to buy a soldier a soap. So make sure the troops are still in the field out there in Afghanistan. Go to Bubble Genius. Buy some soap for a soldier. Bubble Genius is going to be shipping out new boxes of soap to the troops in the field. So please absolutely go and do that. Bubble Genius brings you soap and bath and body products like you've never seen before. They've got something for everyone, from guys to girls to kitties to expecting mothers, even your dog. They even have a few things for your home. Bubble Genius strives to be good to your skin while also being good to the planet. Most of their packaging is recyclable. They source their ingredients as close to home as possible, thereby supporting other local and domestic businesses while cutting down on fossil fuel consumption by not having stuff shipped across the globe. They do their best to use organic ingredients when they're accessible and affordable, and their soaps are free of chemical detergents and surfactants.
Sorry.
It's pure products, pure genius. It's bubblegenius.com.
The Bob and Elvis Show.
Yep. So you were in one of those naked body scanners, huh?
It was a circular glass container.
Uh-huh.
With yellow footprints painted on it. So the first new experience, you know, I'm used to just walking through the deal, right? And it goes bloop and you're done. Just this, you know, the regular radar detector, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Metal detector. And you just do that face forward, right? You can walk straight through. Well, the Total Recall apparatus, you know, because in Total Recall, they have this big screen and people walk behind it and you can literally see that you can see their skeletons and everything. So yeah. I always associate this with Total Recall.
Of course.
It makes you, so you're already stripped down, right? You're in your stocking feet and you know, all your stuff is on the belt and they make you come in and then you have to turn a quarter turn clockwise. So you have to turn, which to, already I'm discombobulated because now I can't see where I'm going, right? I've been turned. So I had to turn a quarter turn. So if getting through there was 12 o'clock, I had to turn to 3 o'clock. And here's the part that I objected to. I would have had no problem with this process if it weren't for this part. They make you, first of all, they make you put your bare feet on these yellow painted feet things that look like feet. So you're already a little, your legs are a little, you're almost to where a cop would tell you to, you know, spread them. Not quite, you know, you're not quite akimbo or whatever, but your feet are apart. Then they instruct you to look at this picture that's painted on the, there's a little sticker with a picture. What you have to do is raise your arms above your head, put your, with your thumbs, with your hands out, with your thumb, almost like making reindeer antlers is the best I can explain it. To put your hands on your head. So you're literally, I mean, police state is not a joke. You're literally being electronically frisked.
Yeah.
And I put my hands up. I did what it said because I'm not looking for jail time. And plus, I kind of had to get, you know, on my plane. But I put my hands up there, and then I very carefully retracted all my fingers but my middle one. And I gave the electronic thing the bird,
yeah,
the double bird with my hands on my head. Right. So very small, yeah, little rebellion there. But I came out of there very displeased with myself for having submitted to it. But I didn't know what I was getting. I thought maybe I'd walk in. I wasn't paying attention to the guy ahead of me because I was, you know, taking all of everything out and off and putting it on the belt. And so, yeah, I had to put my hands on my head and spread my legs. And that was extremely, extremely disconcerting the more I thought about it.
Yeah,
I was really displeased with myself for submitting to that. So I will not. I will be asking for the other measures, whatever those are, next time. I won't. I don't give a shit if that image goes around the world or ends up on some freak site or anything. I don't give a shit about that as long as my name's not on it, which it won't. You know, wouldn't be. But you know, the fact
that
of
you
it,
know of, was, yeah.
Well, yeah. But the fact that I was asked to spread my legs, put my hands above my head, while this thing did what it did, and what it did was it was kind of like a, you know, like a flatbed scanner. When you put the paper down and you start it, it moves this bar across, you know, goes like that in the light. It just didn't have a light, but it did that. It just went, this thing went around, and that was, it was, you know, fine. The radiation bombardment or whatever. I don't know if my balls are going to fall off in 6 months, but the fact of it, the leg spread, the hands above the head, literally with my hands above my head, I wouldn't want to subject Peanut to that. You know,
yeah.
Fuck that. So yeah, now I'm really on board with this, this security state can kiss my ass idea.
Well, you know what? On the bright side, at least you've mitigated that 1 in 10 million chance that there's going to be an incident on an airplane with a terrorist.
Yeah, thank God they yeah, scanned me because, you know, 41 years old with spectacles now, and I now have to wear glasses and my jaunty tie. I'm absolutely the one that needs to get. Not that I'm promoting profiling, but I'm just saying, yeah, they really stopped a bullet there.
Yeah, I mean,
thanks, TSA.
If no one's seen what you look like, if you haven't looked at that section of the blog where we post these shows, yeah, you look like Race Banyan from Johnny Quest. I mean, that's basically Race Banyan now with glasses, and so
yeah, now yeah.
I mean, it's the furthest thing. I mean, Race Banyan looks like. Like he's made out of mayonnaise. I mean, he's sculpted out of bagels and mayonnaise.
Oh, what the fuck! No,
I mean, you're Whitey McWhite guy. You've been in your
Whitey
family
McWhite.
Has been in the United States since 1600.
Since the day, yeah,
right?
Since the day we opened for business, basically.
Yeah, so you are totally mayonnaise. So, and now
I have
you've
no
got
ethnicity in me whatsoever. That is correct.
That's right. So, I mean, now you've joined the Glasses Club. Welcome aboard. And so, I mean, I cannot possibly imagine how they're looking at you and going, yeah, yeah. I mean, that guy right there, we better get him in there.
Yeah. But this guy in Tucson, Whitey McWhite, he couldn't have looked more like your just average schmuck, you know, off the street. So, you know,
or your average Uncle Fester, for God's sake.
Well, when he's bald, yeah. But when he had hair, I'm talking about. But yeah, I'm extremely. You literally, I don't think, unless you go, I mean, you make and go back a few more years, you cannot get further. You cannot get closer to being all American in the non-PC term, you know, discounting the fact that we kicked all the Indians in the ass, yeah, than my family. I mean, we have been here since we opened the door. So I have absolutely no ethnicity in me whatsoever.
Yeah.
Crazy. And yet, and weirdly, all my lineage, my tree got some of the oldest motherfuckers of their age you've ever seen. I mean, my ancestors lived to a man and woman almost down to every into their 70s and 80s back in the 1700s when you're dropping dead at, you know, 12. It's freakish. We got this weird resiliency in my family tree. Almost in every single generation, there's this somebody that went double the distance that they should have. So I'll probably either drop dead tomorrow or I'll live to be 112.
Well, I mean, were they particularly wealthy? I mean, was it a matter of, well, they had money for food and
doctors? You see, we were Southern migrators, so we you know, everybody started in Virginia. I mean, that's just where you started. So that's why Virginia has always felt so much like home to me. I mean, I've always just had this weird ancestral, before I knew anything about my family tree at all, I've always just felt completely at home in Virginia. And I moved all around the world as a kid. But we always came back to Virginia because of the nature of my dad's work. He was at Arlington Hall Station. He was at the Pentagon a couple times. We were always coming back to Virginia, but Virginia just always felt like home. But then we migrated both family trees, both lines, at about the same time after the American Revolution. They were handing out land grants to pay these soldiers for their service in the American Revolution. So you get a block of land, 40, 60, 80 acres, whatever it was. You get a pretty good chunk of land. Plus, the government was trying to get people to move south because New England was getting fucking crowded.
Yeah.
And they're trying to cram, you know, trying to incent people to move south. So a lot of my, I've got one right here. I'm looking at it right here. The state of Georgia. This is to certify that Alexander Barnhill, one of my relatives, one of my progenitors, hath steadfastly done his duty from the time of passing an act at Augusta, blah, 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 until the total expulsion of the British from this state, which I just love, until the total expulsion of the British from this state. He's entitled to a bounty of 250 acres of good land, free from taxes for 10 years, given under my hand, the governor of Georgia, blah, 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 2nd of March, 1784.
Yeah, and I actually have an audio recording of him delivering a speech in Georgia around that time. Here's
the state of winter, there's no way that nobody is going to leave this town. I was raised here, and that gun, I'm going to die here. And no sidewinding, bushwhacking, hornswoggling, crocker is going to roll away.
Right. There's.
I still don't know any sense here, but I don't care. I gotta see the script. I gotta see the screenplay for Blazing Saddles and see what that, if it was written down or they just handed it to that guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've never seen that guy ever before or after. Have you?
Gabby Johnson. He was in a bunch of different things. He played. I mean, he basically played the marble mouthed prospector in several different things.
So it was a nod to sort of the Old West. He was like a character actor in some Old West stuff.
So I mean, they're Blazing Saddles. He gets up there and delivers that speech about Krugers.
Yeah. Classic frontier gibberish, as they say. I noticed until the other night. I actually streamed Blazing Saddles from Netflix when I was. I always have to have something playing to go to sleep at night, so my brain doesn't kill me. So I put my laptop by my bed and I stream a movie because Netflix is just right there and it's better than cable. And so I did it with Blazing Saddles. And I've always thought that the guy Higgins or whatever, you know, with the little mustache, the Howard Johnson.
Yeah.
I always thought he said, "Thank you, man," to the other guy, but he said, "Thank you, Van Johnson."
Ah, there you go.
"Thank you, Van." I never knew that. I've seen that movie a trillion times and that never occurred to me that he says, "Thank you, Van."
Yeah.
So I was very happy with myself. But then I fell asleep before Gene Wilder showed up, which is the whole movie is Gene Wilder.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those two guys, Cleavon Little and Gene Wilder. I mean, Gene Wilder.
That should have been the Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor combination before that. Like, they should have made a ton of movies together, those two.
Yeah, those two. God damn it. I was just going to say that. And it ended up being Richard Pryor who made a bunch of movies with Gene Wilder. But Cleavon Little, those two guys had a dynamic in that movie.
That was so
entertaining.
Just,
yeah.
Price perfect, and Richard Pryor wrote a lot of it, so you know, that helped.
Yeah,
he didn't want to star in it. He just didn't want to star in it. But yeah, the opening scene where we first meet Gene Wilder's, you know, the Frisco Kid, Jim, priceless, absolutely classic.
And this is the thing with Gene Wilder. I mean, I think now he's kind of regarded as a guy who takes himself too seriously and he's reclusive and everything. He was so subversive, even as Willy Wonka. I mean, there was this darkness about him. He was just perpetually like a nice guy, but a nice guy with this deep darkness.
You. Yeah, something wrong with it. I'm sorry, I said the Frisco Kid. I meant the Waco Kid.
Right.
In that movie, but he was in that movie, the Frisco Kid with Harrison Ford, which I think is a unsung classic.
Yeah.
Of movie history, the Frisco Kid.
Right.
If you've never seen that, where he plays a Jew, a Jewish rabbi. Have you ever seen The Frisco Kid?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen this movie.
Oh, my God. You've got to see The Frisco. Go to your whatever and get it. The Frisco Kid.
I may have seen it when I was, I may have seen it like 30 years ago. But
God. Yeah. I love that movie. And I may be completely alone in that. But he plays a Jewish rabbi sent from Poland in the Wild West to be the rabbi for a small, temple in San Francisco, and he's trying to get there to this it's just absolutely hysterical. The talk about a partnership, he and Harrison Ford together was just classic.
Harrison Ford, and now
what has happened to Harrison Ford?
I always go back to this great, and I'm not a huge, I think I've mentioned this on the show already, but it bears repeating, I'm not a big Seth MacFarlane fan, but he tweeted this thing about Harrison Ford. He said, it looks like Harrison Ford opened the Ark and took a peek. That's what Harrison Ford looks like now. They just took a peek at the Ark, I think it was.
Well, I don't mind him aging. I just want him to make better movies. What the hell?
Yeah, well, he's been just terrible. He's just chosen a bunch of awful movies. And I was watching The Fugitive the other day and just marveling at how great he is in that and wondering, where is that Harrison Ford in here?
Now all I can do is sneer and point and sneer.
Yeah.
He's like an angry old man. Sneer.
Yeah. Right.
He's made a good movie since Airplane.
And they're going to make another Indiana Jones movie. Isn't that great?
No, they're not.
They're going to just destroy it.
No, I refuse to believe that. Just like I refuse to believe in your little midget show.
Which no longer exists. It's off the air now.
Oh.
They're still living up there in Oregon, though. Raising their pumpkins. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Fudge with us, you fudge with the best. We'll be back next week. We're late today. I know we're late. We're late. We're very late today. But we'll be absolutely on time next week.
Yep.
Hey, you fudge with us, you fudge with the best. Kruger.
Kruger.
See you next week, everybody.
Barry.